We're on the air. Let's see how the broadcast gets from the studio to your home.
I just want to hear the music, that's all.
Is it too complicated to just keep my records in the category, okay? Just put the rock and roll in with the rock and roll. Put the R&B in with the R&B. I mean, you're not going to put Charlie Parker in with the rock and roll, would you?
What does it all mean?
I don't know. Who is Charlie Parker?
Yes!
Sounds Visual is a podcast featuring interviews and long-form conversations with DJs, crate diggers, record collectors, vinyl enthusiasts, beatmakers, producers, and musicians. Welcome back to another episode of Sounds Visual Radio. My name is Justin. Thanks for tuning back in. On today's episode of How Deep Is Your Crate, a conversation with Bobby Smith. Bobby is the founder of the Albina Music Trust, which documents the historic music of Portland's Albina District. Through community engagement, Bobby has brought to light a definitive catalog of lost recordings and untold stories in collaboration with these marginalized musicians. All right, let's talk to Bobby and go deep in the crates of the Albina Music Trust.
My name is Bobby Smith. I am an archivist and digger, music collector, content producer, and record label runner here in Portland. The Albina Music Trust label is something that was developed out of the World Arts Foundation, a Black-led organization. Has been doing work here in Portland since 1978. I linked up with executive producer Ken Berry of the World Arts Foundation in about 2016, and together with legacy musician Calvin Walker here in Portland, we put together the Albina Music Trust initiative, which functions as a repository for music, as well as a platform for events and oral history sessions. And we also are a record label. And at this point, we've put out about three records and have about three more in the works. I figure today, you know, I could share tracks from those records and beyond. A lot of these projects, you know, they stem from conversations with musicians, and much of that has happened in the studio of X-Ray FM over the years. We are situated as a community radio station in the heart of what is known as Albina. It's a neighborhood in Portland that has historically been redlined, and many of the members of the musician community, just through a process of having experienced, lack of access to the recording industry over throughout the 1960s through 1990s, they had so much music produced that just never ended up being released on a label. And this is not unique to Albina specifically. Is certainly a Portland issue, but it. I'd say in Albina, the issue is very apparent, because there really, if you're digging for records, there's just not a whole lot of soul and funk and jazz, and the heart of that music was located in the Black community in Albina. So a lot of this music you'll hear today it comes from there. I do think there is a responsibility when it comes to like working with Black cultural content and just, historic reissue content. As a label, I don't think I've never put out a reissue except for the BBE thing, but everything here is unissued, but we kind of fall into that reissue category. But I guess the point I'm getting at is that I think about the oral history format as significant to putting together reissues and trying to, you know, be inclusive in the way in which we allow space for the artist to sort of speak their piece in the liner note, as opposed to, you know, somebody like me or someone else who's like retroactively looking back on history and trying to tell someone else's story. Instead, you just kind of get it from the source. So essentially, you know, we get, when you see any of these Albina Music Trust, like 12 plus page liner notes, it's filled with text, and that text is but a sliver of what the entire interview session is. You know, we'll sit down with musicians for like 2-3 hours and follow up, you know, maybe 2-3 more times by a text or follow-up interviews. So we end up with like hundreds of pages of transcription, and that content is edited down with the bands or with Calvin Walker or Ken Berry at World Arts to come up with something that feels at least kind of linear. and so that's been the approach. I feel like that is a bit unique to our label. I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe that can be something that other people take into consideration when working with other people's musical work. So the most recent release we've done, this is the third album, came out in January. This is from a group called Slickophonic, fronted by a man named Randy Smith. Randy's still active in the musician community here in Portland. It features, let's see, who else? Andre Billingsley, Milton Davis. It features a man named Kit Garut. These musicians were, they played neck and neck with a band called Pleasure that's much more well-known through their record label releases on the Fantasy label in the 1970s. Here's a little bit from Slickophonic. This is a session from 1975. Some instrumental sections from a song called Doing It, and the next one is a song called Bubba. There are vocals on the rest of this record, but the arrangements I really like to highlight. I should also give a shout out to Gus Elge, who did the mastering on that record. Let me look. I have it right here. I think that actually the reel-to-reel transfer was done by Dave Fulton. Gus Elge, Sky Onion Mastering, has worked with us on all of our releases. His skill set is pretty incredible. He does a lot of audio preservation. Dave Fulton has also helped us locate odd machines for reel-to-reel content. It's wild because, you know, this is what you're going to hear today is just like a sliver of the music that is in the archive. There are thousands of songs like this, and when we pursue an album project, it's really based on, you know, how many members are still in the community. How, you know, I really try to ask the question of how can doing something like this add value to the lives of the musicians and their families. So we really try to get people together and find ways to celebrate the work. So between the band and the engineers and trying to make it sound as good as we can, we're working on it. So this next record is a really great example of, it demonstrates Gus Elge's skill set. This is a disco record that we have coming out in April by a group called Transport. It features Randy Monroe on bass, as well as members of the Gangsters, which was our first release. This record is called Disco Fantasyland. It's a lost 79 disco record. I would wager that it's the best disco record I've ever heard from Portland. And this came off a cassette tape, and Gus, brought this to life. What you're going to hear is the product of thousands of manual edits of dropouts in the cassette tape after 40 plus years of storage. Here it is. This is just kind of a sampler of Disco Fantasy Land. So yeah, that's the first track on side A that it's called Move Your Body to the Music. It features Rosalind Johnson and Regina Irving on vocals. That album was essentially, you know, rescued from Recording Associates. I just mentioned it was on a cassette. We first found a mono version of it and later found the stereo versions, each of which had different mix downs. It was very hard to choose how to do it. The original reel-to-reel was lost in a divorce in the mid-80s and thrown away in the garbage. But this group killed it back in the day. They played at this venue called The Depot on Powell Boulevard. And we have a lot of photography and some posters that will be part of the album package when that drops in April. When I first started really getting into collecting local music that was unreleased, this was the first album I knew right away that I wanted to put out. And that was probably about 2014, 15. Since become quite close with a number of the band members. Randy Monroe, who is essentially band leader of this group, bassist. He played with Linda Hornbuckle for a number of years. He played with New Shoes. Just a killer musician and wonderful human. So really excited to put this out. Yeah, so the next thing I have to share here is a release that is about 3 years in the making. This is a joint release with that I did with BBE, the label in the UK, Barely Breaking Even. I worked with Jake Holloway and Peter Adarqua on this reissue of Carl Smith and the Natural Gas Company's Burnin' record. This album came out in 1980 and is the product of a tax write-off scheme in Portland that was put together by a bunch of rural farmers from Bend. And what they did is they came to Portland and they were essentially like, they'd had a bad year and they were trying to balance their pocketbooks. And they somehow thought that putting together four, five, or about six records, something like that, of local music and not basically putting the albums out, getting them out on the market, and then writing them off and not doing any promotion or tour support or any of the things that you do when you make an album in 1980. They basically did this with a number of different groups and then disappeared overnight. The label was called Matchbox. And unfortunately, Carl Smith Natural Gas Company was a product of this. There's a great record that was put out by People's Potential Unlimited a number of years ago by a band called Freeway. It's also a product of that. Mike Klinger, a local jazz musician, fell victim to this as well. So anyhow, this record now sees the light of day. We did all the 12 pages of liner notes for this with the band over Zoom last summer, basically telling the story of it. So here it is. This is Stuff Like That by Carl Smith and the Natural Gas Company. It right there. It's a glimpse of Carl Smith and the Natural Gas Company from the Burnin' reissue. It's a double LP that'll be out on BBE Records May 14th of this year. The vocals on that track was Mary Lou Anderson, who is from Albina. She played in a group called Sunday's Child, which was fun fact, released, they had a record in 1970 that was released by on the Reprise label, and they were essentially being marketed, it was a teen group that was being marketed like the Jackson 5. So Sunday's Child is a great record, 1970 on the Reprise label. Mary Lou Anderson of that group, she's featured on this 1980 record, singing on stuff like that. Yeah, this next one I'll throw on. This is a release that is really star-studded, I would say. It features, the name of the group is called Lights Out, and this comes out on Record Store Day, June 12th, on Albino Music Trust. This is a lineup. The group was probably one of the earliest like funk groups to play downtown in Portland. And at the time, well, a lot of bands have told me this when they come into the studio, black groups have essentially stated, you know, we were the first black group, or we were the first integrated group to play west of the Willamette River, which essentially was where the city's prominent entertainment industry was. So it's crazy to think about that, especially given that, you know, many of these groups are like, there's a range. It's like groups from the 1960s through the 1980s are all saying this. So if you can imagine in like a national context, like what that means, like a band that really felt, whether it's true or not, they felt that they were the first black band to play in downtown Portland in the mid 1980s, let's say. Like, it's just kind of insane and really speaks to, you know, institutional racism, the essentially the segregation and the divide of, you know, what a black venue was, what a white venue was. And I tend to defer to the musicians to speak to that, but I think what I could say, in relation to it at all, is there's so much, there's so many, citywide, decisions, that were made in terms of, the way the city is laid out, public policy and planning, as well as the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and their treatment on dancing in bars. There were regulations around that going into the 70s. So if you were like a tavern, for example, could not host dancing, but a club could, and that took like a special license. Like, you might think of it the equivalent of, like, in New York City, they have what are called cabaret licenses. Portland had their own equivalent, red tape. And in implicit, or, you know, like within that, there was structures that essentially kept a lot of black musicians down. So, you know, a club downtown that wanted to host music that was like, maybe didn't have a ton of money, but was like wanting to do something with it and wanted to have a diverse clientele. They might not get that license to be able to host dancing in their venue. Or, you know, a supper club that wants to like open up and have a black band, you know, it's just, there's so much to say about it all. And I think a lot of these musicians and their experiences really speak to that. This record, Lights Out, which I'll play for you in a second, a lot of these musicians fall within that category. This album features Andy Stokes, who's Grammy nominated. He was in a popular band called Cooler back in the day. He's since put together music with Battle Cat, Snoop Dogg, like a lot of popular players. This album also features John Mazzocco, who played for a number of years with Robert Cray, as well as John Lee Hooker. It features, oh man, who else? So many. I'll think about it. Let's listen to it. So this is a band called Lights Out. The song here is called Tonight.
Let's hit the street and go to
All right, and that's Lights Out. That record features members of Pleasure, Dennis Springer on saxophone, as well as Tony Collins on trumpet. It was really Tony's group that got started as a band that played around Portland when Pleasure was not active, starting around 1979. The group also features Greg Dalton is the guitarist in this record. And Greg, man, his history is so deep. He went to LA basically directly after this. He ended up playing with the Whispers with Tony. And then he went on to like be En Vogue's musical director. He was a Babyface's roommate. He got called to play on Tupac records, LL Cool J. Like, he essentially became the on-call guitarist for most golden era hip hop made in Los Angeles in the Bay Area. He's played on Too Short's records. He's like, he's everywhere if you look him up. He's on the Grand Theft Auto soundtrack. So Greg is a trip, and he's all of, you know, I love all these musicians, and we, in true form, the liner notes that will come out with this record were, the oral history portion of the liner notes was put together by myself and Calvin Walker, who has been a huge force in essentially helping these musicians to not only congregate, but to tell their stories and really get a feel for what was important. But yeah, I'm really happy to put this out. This is also a recording restored by Gus Elge. There's like one tape, and it was a dub of a dub, and it was the only thing anybody anywhere had. For what it's worth, yeah, if you're curious, you know, there's albinamusictrust.com is a place for mostly the merchandise side of things. There is an archive of a lot of the oral history and interview content with albino musicians at nightschool.us, which is the name of the program I've had on X-Ray FM for a while.
Right on, Bobby. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. And thanks for all your hard work that you're doing with the Albina Music Trust, bringing these lost Portland records to light. I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to go check out the Albina Music Trust website at albinamusictrust.com, as well as on Instagram at Albina Music Trust.
Killer. Yeah, sounds great, Justin.
I'll see you around town.
Likewise.
For an archive of Sounds Visual Radio episodes, please visit our Mixcloud page at mixcloud.com/soundsvisualradio. We're on Instagram at Sounds Visual Media. We're on Facebook at Sounds Visual PDX, or you can email us at soundsvisualradio@gmail.com.